This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
Welcome back. You're listening to The Morning Run on BFM 89.9 with Shazana Mokhtar, Wong Shaoning and myself, Koo Soo Chong.
According to the Malaysian Digital Economy Consumer Association, the prolonged lockdown and financial concerns have turned Malaysian consumers into cautious spenders during the COVID-19 pandemic. The consumer body said these spending habits are dampening the country's economy.
Now, this also comes after the Economic Action Council Secretariat last week said that more than 600 households from the M40 income group have actually slipped into the bottom B40 category as the COVID-19 crisis delivered a major blow on Malaysian income levels. Now, the M40 category, according to the Department of Statistics, are households that had an earnings bracket of between 4,850 ringgit and 10,959 ringgit per month. So what does this mean for the economy, and are we in danger of losing our middle class?
To explain what's at stake, we've got on the line with us now Kelvin Cheng, an analyst in the Economics Program at the Institute of Strategic and International Studies, or ISIS, Malaysia. Kelvin, now the M40 have shifted their spending habits and are much more thrifty now, not surprisingly. What kind of effects will this have on the economy in the long term?
Hi, thanks so much. So, like I said, let's be clear what M40 actually means in the first place, right? So M40 refers specifically to the middle 40% of the household income distribution, you know, and households like earning a median income of about 7,000 ringgit per month, like you said, between 4,000 and 11,000 ringgit per month. And the reason why it's important to recognize this is that it helps us realize that the M40 is nowhere near a monolithic homogenous group. You know, firstly, there are vast differences between low M40 households at the bottom of that threshold and households at the higher end of that threshold. You know, and plus this grouping is also based on total household income, right? So M40 household with zero kids will be very different from M40 household with six kids. That said, we know from the data over the past year and from my research that the labor market impacts of the COVID crisis were mostly concentrated in less educated, and we're talking like, you know, primary or secondary education only. Less educated, lower wage, blue collar workers, and younger people, especially younger women in the 15-24-year-old range. And so, in my view, I think that the economic impacts of COVID-19 affected households in the lowest end of the household income distribution scale, aka, you know, poor households or households near the poverty line, much more than middle income households, and especially upper middle income households. And this is especially so since middle income households are generally less likely to be, you know, less educated, less likely to work in lower wage informal jobs, and are far more likely to be covered by social safety net programs like EPF and SOCSO and the employment insurance system. As such, I don't think, in my view, there will be a large decline in spending by the Malaysian middle-income households on aggregate, and especially likely for upper-middle-income households. And my guess is that savings rates may inch up a bit, but in general, I think as lockdown restrictions ease, spending from upper-middle-income and higher-income households will continue to hold up.
Yeah, but I'm just curious, for those M40s who have unfortunately lost their jobs, and we do see unemployment inching up, especially if, let's say, you're in the service sector or in the F&B sector where your restaurant is closing down. What kind of impact will that have, though? Because if you have been on any, so you have some form of social protection, that might be running out, for example, the SOCSO insurance scheme. So what options do M40s have? Are they going to be, unfortunately, a new class of urban poor, perhaps not in the same category as B40, though?
Well, I think that, like you said, a lot of these middle-income workers are more likely to be covered by social safety net programs. So that provides a natural buffer compared to low-income households who do not have access to this, to all these programs more likely. But I think maybe because, going back to the question, because the current impacts of COVID-19 have been so unequal, I think it's more like a class divide. And overall, the effects of COVID crisis, I think, are divided more by class, aka by educated formal sector, white-collar workers, versus less educated daily wage or informal workers, and older male workers versus younger and female workers. So I think, yeah, of course, there will be middle-income households and middle-income workers who slip into the lower income threshold, but there are likely even more households and workers who are already in the lower income threshold who are at risk of slipping even further down below the poverty line. But even if you're talking about policies that specifically help middle-income workers and households, yeah, you know, a lot of them have already been implemented throughout the six stimulus packages we had, you know, policies like EPF withdrawals, the ISINA, iLestari initiatives, and, you know, income tax cuts. And all of these tend to help middle-income and upper-middle-income households much more than lower-income households, because upper middle income and middle income households can have, they have more EPF savings to withdraw in the first place. You know, they earn enough wages to be able to benefit from income tax reductions. And similarly, employment retention schemes and expansions to the employment insurance system or EIS are far more likely to help middle income and high income workers, you know, seeing as they are far more likely, like I said, to meet the requirements for the EIS job search allowance benefits in the first place, and ultimately will also receive a higher benefit amount due to generally having higher monthly salaries than low income workers.
So, Kelvin, it sounds to me like you're saying that the B40 and M40 labels, they're not very helpful in charting economic policy. So how do you think the way we think about aid needs to be rejigged for future policymaking, especially now that we're thinking of Budget 2022 and the 12th Malaysia Plan is still being in the works? What are your thoughts?
Right, right. So the labels, I think it's not that it's not relevant, but we have to be aware of what it means and, you know, what it doesn't mean. So M40, B40, Q20, these are all labels that divide the household income distribution and do not necessarily match neatly with what we have in our heads about, you know, lower class, middle class, and upper class. And we tend to use them interchangeably, but in reality, there are huge differences between M40 and middle class, and, you know, they don't match neatly, right? And also, secondly, there are a lot of inherent limitations, so we have to be aware of that. You know, first, like I said, there are wide variations between a group, the same group in M40, the lower and higher ends of that threshold, there are wide variations in experiences. And secondly, like I said, this is based on total household income, right? So a person living alone with a salary of 8,000 per month is considered M40, and that same person who now has six kids is still M40, right? Mm-hmm. And thirdly, these labels are solely about household income, but ultimately class divides between, you know, the have and have-nots go way beyond income and into less tangible things like, you know, social capital, mm-hmm. social ties, and so on. So they don't match neatly with class experiences. And going back to your question, I think having a deeper understanding of these limitations would be helpful for policymakers and for us as well. So one potential partial fix in the near term would be to move policy targeting and eligibility towards per capita measures, aka looking at household income per capita or household expenditure per capita, and this implicitly takes into account household size. Mm-hmm.
So, Kelvin, how have these developments informed your work at ISIS in terms of just perhaps working and engaging with the government on the next stimulus package beyond Pemerkasa Plus and even going further into Budget 2022?
Well, I think for Pemerkasa Plus, I think overall we just need much more forceful fiscal action in general. You know, Pemerkasa Plus was helpful, but it was nowhere near enough, right? So hundreds of thousands of Malaysian workers remain in unemployment. You know, unemployment rates are still close to multi-decade highs, and even more are underemployed or have dropped out the labor force entirely, especially so for vulnerable marginalized worker groups like women, less educated, blue-collar workers. And COVID cases are still high, and we've been in full MCO for weeks. So definitely, I think in the near term, we need much more forceful fiscal action, financed specifically by higher government deficits, right? And in terms of focus areas, I think just two basic fronts. You know, more government spending, number one, on expanding and extending existing safety net programs like the BPI cash transfer program and the EIS employment insurance program. And secondly, much more infrastructure spending, particularly on infrastructure projects in lesser developed regions in Malaysia. I think, you know, there are a lot more spending priorities, of course, but these two make a great start towards a more equitable economic recovery, I think.
Okay, Kelvin, thank you so much for your time. That was Kelvin Cheng, an analyst in the economics program at ISIS Malaysia, the think tank. Now, obviously, lots of information there to unpack. Things are moving, you get the feeling that things are moving so fast that the government is still trying to work on developments past rather than developments present. There's almost too much to work on at this point in time. Things are moving too quickly. Internet warp speed, you get the impression.
Yeah, but I disagree somewhat with Kelvin with regards to the M40. Yes, they are in a better position. And yes, they probably received better pay in the past. So they have some form of social safety net. But the point is, with the allowances by the government or the government allowing these people to withdraw their EPF, for example, over the last few months, you know, the balances would have come down significantly. So that puts into question their future retirement plans. And not all of them would have been able to stay employed. So let's say if you were unfortunately working in a hotel or you're in some service sector like F&B, you might have already lost your job, or you would have had a significant pay cut. So what happens to people like that? You know, so their household spending patterns would have definitely changed. Now, yesterday when we had a breakfast grill with the Adun of Subang Jaya, Michelle Ng, and with Mercy Malaysia, she highlighted that in her constituency, there is a new class of M40, which she describes as the new poor. And for them, they don't really know where to go. She highlighted that the B40s, they have a system in place where if they are short of something, they know how to get it. But the M40s, this is a new thing for them.
Yeah, so from a policy standpoint, right, let's not forget that the government has already unleashed 7 stimulus packages, not including Budget 2021, right? Totaling nearly 380 billion ringgit, and 80 billion of that has been direct fiscal injects. And not all of it has been reaching the desired target areas, because there's been a lot of hit and misses, right? Continues to be hits and misses, right? And it doesn't seem as if the fiscal headroom is exactly generous, right? Not
well, we are very close to our statutory yes. debt levels, right? So that's always going to be a problem for us. Now, when you talk about fiscal stimulus or at least spending by the government, guess what? Half of it has been funded by yourself through EPS.
Yes, right? 80 billion, right?
In yes, it's about almost the same, actually, between the actual direct government injections and our own spending. So, you know, if the economy continues to slow down, which we are facing now with this prolonged lockdown, I think novel solutions are required.
Well, obviously, this is a discussion which does not end here. We will continue to explain and analyze this in the weeks ahead. BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.